Hello, everybody. And my name is Michael, and I'm an addict. Really great to be here. I haven't spoken a long time, and I really appreciate the invitation. Thank you so much. This is one aspect of recovery that I really enjoy doing is sharing like this. And I guess I'll just jump right into it. I got clean this time around. 2009, January 20th, 2009, and I've been clean since then. And I went to my first meeting, and I had gone there. Excuse me, I went to my first meeting back this time on that Tuesday, January 20th. I remember it was a Tuesday night, and I went back because I know that I'd had previous amounts of clean time before, and that this is what had worked before, and that I needed to make some big changes. And it was a point of surrender. I had an altercation with the police, and more an encounter than an altercation, an encounter with the police. And I know once the police get involved, it's usually they've got a track on you, and it was just over for me. But I remember thinking that, how am I going to make this work, as somebody who is really agnostic, atheist, non-believer, skeptic. And how am I gonna make it happen? And I remember very clearly that I knew that the basic text had been revised and that they had redone the personal stories. And I, just out of curiosity, was at the meeting and was looking through them, the steps, looking through the basic text, and came upon the personal story, Atheists Recover Too. And that is, exactly what I needed to keep me coming back. That isn't necessarily one of my favorite stories in there, but it was what I needed in that moment to keep coming back. And, and with that, I've been clean since then. And I've never had the desire or interest or felt compelled or felt needed to call upon a supernatural deity to get me another day clean. I've done it. We've done it, in the meetings. I'm using my resources. Using the support of people in meetings, using the literature and what have you. That's kind of how I got here with my current, situation. I'm going to back up a little bit and talk a little bit about what it was like before. I grew up in a pretty scary situation. It was pretty violent. I had a lot of that violence directed towards me. And, and I was very, very young. And remember growing up with the really distinct fear of that I was going to be murdered. And it would have been my fault because, of a variety of reasons that were always given to me for why I was, having this violence exacted onto me. And that's a really difficult way to grow up and kind of feel good about yourself. And I can remember feeling really inadequate and very faulty, and if I was just a good enough kid, that this kind of stuff wouldn't happen to me. And which just simply isn't true. You know, I was just being a kid. And you know, as I grew up, you know, I grew, you know, I went to like kind of, you know, middle school in the late 70s, and there was a lot of drug education going on. And I remember, you know, being 12 or 13 years old, and then, you know, and in this these books that we would get and whatnot, they would talk about the effects of drugs and how, you know, you an inflated sense of self and loss of inhibition and laughter and you know, ease of mind, and you know, you didn't care anymore about anything, and you know, a lot of the effects. And I can remember really seriously thinking, well, just sign me up. Okay, yeah, so that's what I'm sign me up. You know, considering what I was coming from, yeah, all right, you know, subscribe me, man. And then I was on the quest to find substances, and I eventually found them. And it took a while, you know, and I did a lot of experimentation. You know, I read a lot of those old things, you know, about, you know, try this and try that, and you know, and then eventually I found what it was that I wanted. And you know, it was really reckless and dangerous, and I'm lucky to have survived it. And the first NA meeting that I went to, you know, my original clean date was April 7th of 1985. So here in a couple of days, I've been trying to figure this out for 40 years. Okay. I went through treatment, got clean, and lived in a halfway house. Was really great for me to get out of the living situation that I was in. And it was great. I had four NA meetings a week right in the basement of my residence. And they were great meetings. Okay. And, you know, I always never quite had the same, you know, a lot of people talking about spiritual this and spiritual that and spirituality. And I tried, but I never came close to the rich, you know, spiritual lives that these other people were living or at least talking about in meetings. And you know, I was clean 10 years, and I actually got my first job. It went through college, had some great experiences. You know, but I ended up relapsing at 10 years. And it was actually in New Mexico, pretty close to the Zuni Pueblo. And it's amazing that this disease, you know, having been away from using for 10 years, not even close to picking up, you know, I went about 8 or 9 months. And then all of a sudden, the mental part of it comes back, and it just sounds like a really good idea to get high. And I did. And by the end of that summer, you know, I was strung out again, as bad as I ever was before. Had another, you know, had a 3 year run there, and then got clean again in Albuquerque. You know, for another 3 years, and you know, moved back to Ohio. And then this was really when I really started to really like openly reject the spirituality, you know, God-centeredness of NA. You know, and I remember I was at a meeting and hearing all of it, and talking to a few people. I had some people invite me to church, and I'm like, no, this just isn't for me, you know? And I was going through a really rough period. and ended up relapsing again. And that was about 7 years. I was really trying to control it, really isolating a lot at home. But this time I had wife and kids. But, my solution was to isolate, which doesn't bode well for family life. But I got clean again, and through the interaction with the police, and I had to make this work somehow, and I started trying to find some things that I could hold on to, and the first thing was that personal story in the back of the basic text. But I needed more than that. And I started sharing in meetings. I don't believe in this. I've got to be true to who I am. And I like to share in meetings. And when this stuff comes up, I honestly would share, that I don't trust my recovery with unicorns or leprechauns or Bigfoot or aliens or anything supernatural. And that includes the G-O-D. And that, people could kind of understand it when I put it in those terms, or there were some people that sought to understand me when I put it in those terms. But again, I needed, I went back to the basic text. And, we hear some of these readings over and over and over again in meetings. And there was one piece that I found that was really important to me, and I'd like to read it to you. And it's one of those things that we hear all the time, but when I isolate it out, it kind of takes on a new meaning when you think about not having a supernatural higher power. Okay. So this is from How It Works. And it starts, we feel that our approach to the disease is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. Basic text, page 18, How It Works. And that gave me something to hold on to. And then later on, in that very same chapter, it has that the ultimate weapon for recovery is the recovering addict. And again, that gave me something to hold on to. The first step for me, it really is about the disease of addiction. And what I've come to understand, the disease for me is that it's really a mental illness that I have. And I accept that. A long time ago, I, would have rather if everybody thought of me as like this rebel or, alternate lifestyle type, or even just a criminal or a gangster, or something like that, that just, hedonistic, self-centered, whatever. That than to be thought of as having a mental illness. But now I realize that addiction is a mental illness. And especially when I look back on my history and think that, that I would return to such a self-destructive behavior even after, years and years of clean time, and to continue that behavior in relapse for years. Knowing what I know about recovery. And it really was important for me on a self-acceptance side to know that yeah, I've got a mental illness and I accept that part of me, and I can live through it and cope. And I do that with the support of my sponsor and my little recovery network. And I have my home group that I attend, and I have my literature that it's available to me. It's really become that important to me. I had a really good sponsor for the first 6 years I was clean this time. And he has, exited the community. But, I heard that he's still clean to this day. But I remember, when I was going through, this higher power revision, deconstruction in a lot of ways. I talked to him and I said, but what about the void? What about that thing that they talk about, the void? And he goes, I remember him very much saying, why don't, instead of trying to solve it or, find a solution to it or whatever, why don't you just learn to live with it? And that to me, it was rather than trying to change the fact, just accepting it, accepting myself that that's what it was. And he told me, and this made so much sense to me, he says, anything that I try to, put in there to compensate for something like that, it's just going to become a new obsession. And that was very true for me, so I learned how to live with it, and I over time have it's been revealed to me, as in more will be revealed. It has been shown to me, revealed to me, that I really don't have a void. That what that void feeling is actually just another symptom of the disease of addiction. We all have doubts, and we all have moments where we feel like we're in a situation, we feel kind of like an imposter, or that we don't quite measure up. Every human goes through that. But as addicts, we feel like it's some vital component of our persona that, that is completely gone, and that, some people say it can only be addressed by, invoking a supernatural deity. And I just don't believe that. What I've come to find out is that, by hanging in there and sticking with recovery and developing myself as a person, becoming a better at what I do professionally, becoming a better father, becoming a better friend, becoming a better person of service, that lie is being revealed for what it is, as a lie. There wasn't a void. I'm not incomplete. I just have this thing called the disease of addiction that tells me that there's something missing and that I need something outside of myself to compensate for it. And that is a lot of freedom. That is a lot of freedom. I'm really grateful for that being shown to me. And lots of recovering addicts of lots of different stripes and beliefs and whatever. We're a part of that. I really focus on also that I got to belong somewhere. Isolation for me can be very comforting in a lot of ways. When I was very young, isolation meant that I was safe and that I knew what was going to go on. Whereas before, being around a lot of people just really showed that that I wasn't safe, and I feel like I have to belong. And there are a lot of believers in NA meetings, especially in Ohio. And I really have come to understand that most of them only believe in one supernatural deity, and they rule out all the others. And so I just take it one more. And so therefore, I find that we're way similar than we are different. Way similar. I just take it one more. I again want to return to the basic text before I wrap up here. There's another little nugget from the basic text that I found that I'd like to read to you. And this is from page 72 of the basic text. And it goes like this. In our recovery, we find it essential to accept reality. Once we can do this, we do not find it necessary to use drugs in an attempt to change our perceptions. Without drugs, we have a chance to begin functioning as useful human beings if we accept ourselves and the world exactly as it is. And that's what I choose just for today, is that I'm going to accept the world for exactly as it is, and that includes me and where I currently am in my own development, in my own recovery. And I am so grateful for having a path that I've been able to get to this point. And I'm especially grateful to have one more day clean. Thank you.